Welcome back to The Weekend Show. Dr. Gail Ganzer with Piedmont Eye Center in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for stopping by. You know, we have talked with Piedmont Eye Center in the past about the fact that you all are a multi-specialty practice, and your focus is pediatrics. In other words, the kids.
That's
and,
right.
And your practice is the kids. And, you know, I think one of the first things that I would want to know, I have a 12-year-old son now, but it's something I figured out. But I always wondered, at what age do you suggest a parent take their child to the eye doctor? We always hear, you know, go to the dentist by the time they're three, the first couple of teeth. But an eye doctor, I don't know, do people think about that is something they need to do with their children?
It's a great question that is a little bit hard to answer because it would depend on if there is any family history of an eye disorder in early childhood, such as needing glasses, or if there's a crossed eye in the family, droopy eyelid in the family, or if you've seen anything that worries you about your child's eyes. For example, if the child is squinting a lot to see or having to get closer to objects to make them out, tearing of the eyes, or a misaligned eye, things like that that would concern you.
Something you just need to know, perhaps
right.
Notice, because I know a lot of times that, like, at the pediatrician, they'll do kind of the basic
they
eye
do,
exam.
And that's what I was going to say. I mean, vision screening by the pediatricians is really effective, although it's mostly testing visual acuity and depth perception. Mm-hmm. But if either of those is delayed in developing, then they would be able to pick that up, and then they will send me patients that do not pass vision screening. So sometimes children don't come in until they fail a vision screening, and that's generally okay. If everything looks to be okay, then I don't know that you need to bring a child in before they go to formal school.
As you said, unless there's some kind of
history
there, really.
Exactly. Something doesn't look right, mm-hmm. Something running in the family, or an injury, of course, things like that you want to get checked out.
Let's talk a little bit about your involvement in this field, because I think in my head I'm thinking, well, pediatric ophthalmology, it's just a small adult eye, right? But, logically, that's not the case. I mean, they're growing and things are changing in their bodies all the time, and I assume in the eye as well.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, a child's eye is about the size of an adult eye. Mm-hmm. However, what's changing in a child is their brain. The eye itself is anatomically intact from birth, but vision development occurs and takes about 7 to 8 years to reach its maximum. And, for example, a newborn might be able to see, if they could tell us, the big E on the eye chart, but they wouldn't be able to see anything, you know, beyond that. But basically by age 2 or 3, the visual acuity in a child's probably 20/20, like the rest of us. So the question would be, how does the eye get from not seeing very well to seeing 20/20? And basically the vision part of the brain has to develop, and there are connections between the eye and the brain, like the retina, the optic nerves, visual pathways. I don't want to get too complicated, mm-hmm. but all those take years to develop, and something can go wrong at any step of that development and require intervention by a physician.
And I assume the earlier the better.
That's exactly right. The earlier the better. If a child needs patching, for example, if you wait till age 6 or 7, it might be too late to improve the vision of that eye.
Well, let's talk a little bit about bringing a child in for an exam. I can see it being a little scary for kids. There are these crazy things, these big kind of look like machines hanging around. Talk a little bit about the process for examining a child's eyes.
Sure. All parts of the eye exam can be done in a child just like they can in an adult. So basically, we like to make a comfortable environment for a child. We have a playroom, and then when they come back into the room to see me, I have toys to see if they fix and follow. We have a lighted up star at the end of the room that can capture a child's attention, because I want to look at their eyes and see if they're straight and moving correctly while they're distracted.
They don't know what you're doing.
Right. They don't really even mm-hmm. know they're at the doctor necessarily. Mm-hmm. Some of them are smart enough to figure it out. But I don't wear a white coat. And so I basically can observe what I need to know about the child's eyes, like their pupil reactions, how well the eyes move. Does do the structures in the front of the eye look okay, like the cornea and the iris? And then we do have to put dilating drops in, which can scare a child a little bit, but we try to make that as pleasant as we can. And then they can go to the playroom while they dilate and then come back and see me. So we want to mix technology with a friendly welcoming environment for a child.
And let's talk a little about, you talked a little earlier about parents kind of looking for signs they might need to come in. And some are very obvious. And one that we hear a lot about, something called lazy eye. And I think a lot of parents think, well, you know, I think my child might think their child has this. Talk a little bit about what lazy eye is. It sounds like it's self-explanatory, but what
right.
is it really?
It really isn't, because the first thing I would want to say is lazy eye is not a medical term. Mm-hmm. I would never write on a patient's chart diagnosis lazy eye. Mm-hmm. But what people mean when they say lazy eyes, I have found to be three different things. One will be that the eye turns. So one eye is looking straight ahead where the child's attention is, and the other is turned either in or out. Mm-hmm. The medical term for that is actually strabismus. And sometimes, though, people mean that the one eye doesn't see as well as the other. Like the child went to get a vision screening, one eye's 20/20, the other one's, say, 20/100, which is a worse level of vision. And so that could be called by some individuals a lazy eye. The other thing I find that a family might mean by lazy eye is that there's a droopiness of an mm-hmm. eyelid.
That's my first thought.
That's your thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, see, and I have found about equally split three ways for those types of situations as to what people mean mm-hmm. by when they say lazy eye. So I have to say, what do you mean by lazy mm-hmm. eye? And then they'll tell me, and then I know. So, and sometimes at the end of an exam, a family member will say, well, so is this a lazy eye? And I'll say, well, if you want to call it a lazy eye, it's a lazy eye.
It's not going to be on the chart that way.
Because it's not the medical term. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, I hope that answers the question.
No, yeah. And like I said, that was my first thought. But as you said, some people might just interpret it as one eye seen differently than the other. And when I said lazy eye, like I told you, I thought talked about a droopy eye. And there are the signs that are very obvious. Like you said, one eye is shifting to one direction, or maybe the lid is drooping a little bit. But what about when there's nothing obvious? What do you need to be looking for in a child to realize they may need glasses or at least come to be checked out, especially if they're not reading yet? What can you look for in the younger children to realize, you know, maybe their vision's not quite what it should be?
Right. So if the eyes themselves look normal, mm-hmm. then the things you would want to look for would be like headaches, especially with attempted reading, just trouble learning to read or being up mm-hmm. to grade level. Just red eyes or feeling of eye strain, just rubbing the eyes a lot can indicate a problem. Those would be the main things.
To look out for.
To look out for, yeah.
And mm-hmm. are there any problems that parents maybe overlook and maybe put off as something like, you know, oh, they're just tired, they're rubbing, you know, just they think it's tiredness. Is there eye problems that parents are missing?
The main thing that can be missed just by observation would be amblyopia, which is one of the lazy eye meanings. Mm-hmm. Amblyopia is a medical term, but basically it just means that one eye doesn't see as well as it should because the part of the brain that correlates with that eye hasn't developed well. So an example would be a child who sees 20/20 in one eye, but does not see well in the other eye because the eye is nearsighted or has astigmatism or something along those lines and needs glasses. Mm-hmm. So that child can actually function normally.
Because they're compensating,
right? With an eye that's 20/20. Mm-hmm. Right. The good eye can take over for everything. And those children tend to be picked up in terms of their problem when they go for vision screening. So that could be at the primary care physician office. Sometimes it's at school, but around age 4 or 5. And they just don't see as well in one eye as the other. But looking at the child, you would never see anything wrong. And there really are no ways that you could detect it other than if the child's like squinting one mm-hmm. eye or turning their head to try to see things better. Sometimes that can be a sign of amblyopia.
And that brings me to a question. You talked about perhaps one eye, the 20/20 eye, and the other one's not seen, you know, as it should. So the good eye is sort of compensating and taking over. Does something like that then, I don't want to say the word damage, but does that do something to the good eye? Is that my eye being overworked? Can that eventually lead to problems in that eye?
People ask me that all the time. It really does not. There's no such thing as overworking your eye other than it if you use your eyes a lot, it can give you a feeling of eye strain, mm-hmm. or sometimes dry eyes because we don't blink as much as we should.
But it's not taking you from 20/20
It won't damage the good eye to have the other eye be weak. But the problem is you want to fix the weak eye so that both eyes are strong. So sometimes we do that by patching. You've heard of patching a child.
Right.
For lazy eyes, what people usually say. But
and it forces
often
that.
It's to make the brain develop the vision of the weaker eye. So you patch the good eye.
And it makes the other one, I guess, almost like exercise more,
it's
right?
It's exercise for the eye. That's exactly right.
All right. If somebody's concerned about their child or just wants to make sure that everything is okay, what's the best way to get in touch with you all?
Well, you can look on our website, PiedmontEye.com. Or call our office directly at 947-3984, area code 434, and make an appointment at your convenience.
All right. Dr. Gail Ganser with Piedmont Eye Center, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We'll be right back.